The waters are roaring and the foam is foaming and the mountains are quaking and the mountains are surging. The nations are in uproar. The kingdom is falling. There's war everywhere. That's what it says in Psalm 46. There's noise. There's noise. There's noise. I could get louder. And then, we hear the Hebrew word, Rapha. Be still. Be still. The word means relax, cease, be quiet, put it down. Chill out, people. Be still. God is our refuge and strength. Dot, period, end of story. Be still. Stop your striving. Stop your driving. Stop your worry. Stop, 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 and know that I am God. Tell me about your world. Well, don't have to tell me, but think about your world for a moment. Think about your life. Think about your last week. Was there a lot of noise in your week? Was there a lot of striving and craziness and busyness? And was all this stuff going on around you with all the elections and everybody, you got to vote for me, and all these things that are going on, and all this noise that's going on at work, and all this noise that's going on? These wonderful children bring a bucket full of noise. And all of life is busy, busy, busy. Unless the Courtney Comox region is very, very special. And you are the only place in the whole world there is peace and serenity. Life is full. Life is busy. Challenges are coming our way all the time. Our families are struggling. Our parents are struggling. I'm just telling you about my life. My brother is struggling. There's life-changing events going on in their lives that cause us to call out to God, to cry out to God, please, please change the situation. Life is full. And God says, be still. Be still. There are two spiritual practices that I want to talk about today. And then at the end of my message, we are going to practice together. I don't want to just make this here, take it, and then, you know, that's it. I want you to walk away with it in your hands. I want you to take away something today. Because in our world of very, very busy, loud life, I want us to have something practical to walk away with today. And so that's what I want to give you this morning. Two practices that are very, very difficult. How many people in the room would say, I'm an extrovert? You are an extrovert. Raise your hands real high. I extrovert. Woohoo! Where's the next party? Introverts? You're not even going to raise your hands because you're introverted. That's what introverts do, I think. I wouldn't have a clue what that means. It doesn't matter if you're an extrovert or an introvert, noise is still very real in your life. Busyness is still very real in your life. And the two practices I want to talk to you about today are solitude and silence. Solitude and silence. Richard Foster, in his book, Celebrations of Discipline, says these words: no noise or conversation, just you and God. Our fear of being alone drives us to the noise and the crowds. Interesting thought, isn't it? Our fear of being alone drives us to the noise and the crowds. We keep up with constant streams of words, even if they are inane. We just want something to keep our mind occupied. We buy radios. Now, this is an old book. We buy radios. No, we don't. And strap them on our wrists. Well, those are called iPhone watches. We fit them over our ears so that if no one else is around, at least we are not condemned to silence. Because we can't handle silence. We've got to have something going on in the background. Because we can't handle silence. Kelly Mahoney says this about solitude. When we spend time in solitude, we get away from all the things that are distract us from our realities. We see inside our lives, we see our thoughts, and we see our behaviors. Solitude brings us peace that we just can't get when we're surrounded by others. It allows us to decompress and take the stress off our day. Solitude means we step out of the noise and we go somewhere where there is no noise. We may go for a walk along the ocean. You have some beautiful paths in this city. We walked one of them yesterday. You get away from the busyness of life and you just simply go, I'm stepping out for a time. I'm taking an hour and stepping out. In solitude, you may have quiet music, you may read a book, you may walk, you may listen to the nature around you, but solitude means you just put everything aside and you step out. Where silence means that you have absolutely no noise. Robert Sarah says this, through silence we return to our heavenly origin where there is nothing but calm and peace and repose. Silent contemplation and adoration of the radiant face of God. We even turn off the music. We turn off the radio. We turn it all off. We don't talk to anyone. We just go find a place and we just hide. So that it's just the Lord and me. Solitude. Silence. Richard Foster says again these words, there is a freedom to be alone, not in order to be away from people, but in order to hear the divine, what does it say? Whisper better. In order to hear the divine whisper of the voice of God. December 26, 2004. Does anybody remember what happened on December 26, 2004? A tsunami. A tsunami struck. It was the third largest earthquake ever recorded at 9.1 on the Richter scale. It happened out in the middle of the ocean, in the Indian Ocean, and this earthquake caused such a shock wave that it produced a wave that was over 100 feet high and it traveled at 500 miles an hour. Devastation was created. This tsunami claimed the lives of nearly 280,000 people. Unprepared. Lost. There was a small people group called the Moken people. They're a mixture of Burmese and Thailand people. They live on the ocean. This small group of people was in the very center of the tsunami. And yet, not one life was lost in this tribe of the Mokens. Not one life. You see, they would say that they knew how to listen to the ocean. People watched this small little group of people and they saw what was going on and they saw the devastation coming all around them. And what the people did is in this small little tribe is they saw what was going on. They watched the water because they were sea people. They watched the water. They watched what was happening around. And the women and the children and any of the men that were on the beach turned and started running for higher ground long before anybody even knew what was happening. Those who were fishing out in the ocean, instead of turning their boats to shore, they turned their boats the other way and headed out deeper into the water. Why? Because they knew how to listen to the ocean. And not one person in that small little group of people was lost. It's an incredible story. Amongst a story of great devastation. Mark Batterson, in his book called Whisper, says these, like these seafaring people who speak the language of the sea, we speak the language of the Spirit. We speak the language of the Spirit, and we should be able to hear the voice of the Spirit in our lives. If we are Christ followers, let me ask you a question. When is the last time you heard the voice of God speak to you? When is the last time you heard a gentle whisper of God in your soul? Did you even recognize it as the voice of God? Did you hear him whisper to you? Whisper so quietly that unless you were quiet, unless you were in solitude, unless you were silent, you would never hear his voice. We have three little grand boys. They're amazing. 8, 6, and 3. Micah, Wyatt, and Weston. That's a good movie, doesn't it think? That'll make a good Western. I love calling them close. Micah, come here. Papa's got something to say to you. And when you whisper to their ears, you know what they do? They whisper back. I love it. Micah, I think you're an awesome young man. Papa, I think you're an awesome old guy. Whisper. When is the last time you heard the whisper of God? The voice of the Spirit. The word whisper in the scriptures in Hebrew is damama. And it can be translated this: silence, stillness, or calmness. There's intimacy of the whisper that draws us closer to the heart of God. We learn this whisper. We hear this whisper. We begin to engage with the whisper in places of solitude and silence, because otherwise the noise around us is too loud and we can't hear it. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. We're not going to read it. I'll remind us of the story. 1 Kings 18 and 19. Remember, Elijah is a prophet, and Elijah was going up against these other prophets of Baal and Asherah, and it was time for the war. It was time for battle. And so Elijah said, listen, I'm so tired of you people and all this false news that you're producing about your gods. We're going to have a battle. So let's go. Up on the Mount Carmel they go for this huge battle that's going to go on. Remember the story? On this side, 800 prophets of Baal and Asherah. On this side over here, one prophet named Elijah. Here's the battle. Here's the duel. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to start with an empty altar. Put the wood on. Put your rocks together. That's great. Put your offering on there. And then you're going to call your God. And your God is going to light your altar. And we'll give you opportunity to do so. And if that doesn't work, I will do that with my God, and we'll see whose God is the God. Remember the story? It's a great story. It's a powerful story. Because these guys are over here doing their thing, and they're dancing, and they're singing. And Elijah, I love this guy. He stands over here going, maybe you should call louder. Maybe he's asleep, or maybe he's gone away somewhere. Maybe he's in the bathroom. Just call louder. And they dance, and they scream louder, and they begin to cut themselves. Maybe this is what will attract our God to come, and they have all this blood, and it's all over the place, and this place is going crazy. Remember the story? And nothing happens. And then Elijah said, enough is enough. Let's go over here and let's do this. And so he builds his altar, and he puts the wood on, and he puts a sacrifice, and he says to the group of people, go get a whole bunch of buckets of water and pour it on the altar. And they did. And he said, now go do it again. And they did. And then he said, now do it one more time. And they did. And this thing is just dripping in water. And then he says simply this, God be God. Show us your power. And wham! Everything's burnt up and destroyed like that. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but I don't remember the last time I did that. But if I was standing against 800 other prophets, and I would be pretty pumped. I would be pretty excited. And the story goes on. There's other parts of the story, but I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. And as Elijah is running down the hill, a messenger comes to him and says this, the queen, Queen Jezebel, the evil queen, she has said these words that if by tomorrow you are still alive, may the gods be ever so severe on me. So in other words, Elijah, by this time tomorrow, you will be a dead man. I will take you out. We just had this great victory. And now Elijah says to this messenger, oh my word, she's going to kill me. And he runs for his life. How often in our lives do we see the amazing power of God, and a moment later we forget the story and we run for our lives? Because God was powerful there, but he can't be powerful again against an evil queen. And he ran for his life, and he ran to the desert. And it says in the desert, he even said to the Lord, I'm the only one left. And you know what? Could you just kill me now? Could you just take me out now? So I don't have to go through all of this? Just, I'd rather die at your hands than at the hands of Queen Jezebel. Could you just take me out now? Remember the story? For 40 days, Elijah was fed bread, water. He was restored and renewed and refreshed. He was fed, cared for. And then God said to him, I want to talk to you, and I want you to go to Mount Horeb. And so he runs off to Mount Horeb, and he goes into a cave. And as he's in this cave, the voice of God speaks again and says, Elijah, I want to talk to you. Come out of the cave. And so Elijah came out of the cave. And he stood on the edge of the cliff. And these are the words we then read. And the Lord said to him, I want you to go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. The power of God is going to, there it is. It's coming. Oh, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. Oh, the power of God is going to be great. What is he going to shout to me? It's not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came fire. Well, we in British Columbia know all about fire and the destructive power of fire. There's fire. It's going to be great. Where's the voice? Come on, speak. the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. God spoke. If you read on in that passage of Scripture, it instructs Elijah what to do. I want you to go anoint this guy as king, and I want you to go anoint this guy, and I want you to go and anoint Elisha because he's going to follow you, and I want you to go and do this, and I want you to do that. And by the way, Elijah, you think you're all alone. There are actually 7,000 prophets that I have protected. And all of that came to him in a whisper. God affirming him and God affirming who God was. Mark Batterson again says these words, when God wants to get our attention, he has an outside voice. I like that. But when God wants to be heard, he often speaks in a whisper. Finding the quiet place with God is not an easy practice. Finding the quiet place with God is not easy, but it is a key place to hear the voice of God. If you want to hear the voice of God, if you want to hear what he has to say, friends, more often than not, we have to find it in the whisper, in the quiet place, in the stillness, which means we have to practice solitude and silence. Why is it important to hear the voice of God? Because our relational, loving God wants to connect with us. He wants to connect with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to be heard by you. Remember back in Genesis chapter 2? It tells us the story of how we were formed out of the dust of the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, we read, God spoke and it came into being. The word in there is ex nihilo, out of nothing. God spoke and it became. God spoke and it came to life. It's an incredible story. But in Genesis chapter 2, it says God formed. Now, this is a little Brianology, so let it go if you want. But I can see God down on his hands and his knees forming humankind. It's like the sandcastles that we build. God forming, because that's what it means. It's to shape. It doesn't say he spoke. It said he formed. And he's forming this person. And he's making it just beautiful. And then it says he breathed on this piece of dirt. And it came to life. That word breathe and the word whisper are very similar in the Hebrew language. He breathed. He breathed in spiritual life. He breathed in physical life. He breathed in life so that dirt became alive. There's an intimacy in this design and in this bringing to life. There's intimacy because it goes on to tell us of how God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. And there was no sin, and there was no separation, and there was full and complete relationship. Again, Brianology, I can just, so Adam, what did you name this animal? Well, that's an anteater. Interesting name. And what did you name this? Well, that's an elephant. Okay. And what did you, and they had a conversation. They were in relationship. They were in friendship together. We are made out of intimacy. If you don't believe me, read Psalm 139, which we will read at the end of the service. There's an intimacy when God molds us together in our mother's womb. There's intimacy. You see, God wants to speak to us. God wants to have relationship because he loves us. He created us. He made us. in his image, in his likeness. He wants to talk. Communication is two ways. It's us speaking to God, which we often do well, but it's also us listening to God, which we don't do so well. Solitude and silence is not something that you learn instantly. It actually is a challenge. My wife and I, Helen's with me this morning. My wife and I attended a soul formation conference where we were taught about the practices, the spiritual practices. It's kind of the practices of solitude and silence and hearing God and listening prayer and other practices that our church fathers some 2,000 years ago practiced. And it's a practice that is now coming back again into the Christian faith in most beautiful ways. And we went to this conference and we were taught and reminded about the truths and went out and practiced. And it was very powerful for us. And it's a practice that I love because I get to hear the voice of God in the quietness of a place, of a setting. It's a practice that we need to work on. It's not something we just get. A.B. Simpson. Anybody know who A.B. Simpson is? A few of us do. A.B. Simpson is the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance in 1887. He started this whole thing. Do you know that you're a part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance denomination in Canada? Do you know that there's 82 Alliance churches in British Columbia alone? Do you know that 20 of them are Chinese? 3 of them are Vietnamese and 3 of them are Filipino. One is a Spanish church and one is an Iranian church where they are seeing the power and hand of God move in their congregation like unbelievable. They're seeing 2 to 5 people a week come to Christ right now. This small little church of about 30, which is now surging over 200 in the last 6 months, have a passion to reach the 90,000 Iranians in Vancouver. God is on the move. Do you know that you're part of Alliance Church, which is 435 Alliance churches across Canada? Do you know that we're in many, many countries around the world? Do you know that we send out over 200 international workers, once called missionaries, but now in our world we have to call them international workers because missionaries are no longer accepted at many doors of a country? But an international worker is okay. Our IWs, we have over 200 around the world, just from Canada alone. You're a part of a very live, healthy family that's going on ministry all over God's creation. A.B. Simpson started this with a passion. He was a pastor in New York City, downtown city. He had this, his salary was incredible. His church was prestigious. And God said to him, not good. I want you to go to the down and the outers. And so he left this prestigious place and went and planted the church. And out of that began to send missionaries across the world. Do you know that the first 5 missionaries that went out with the Alliance, 4 of them died within the first 6 months? Talk about progress and moving forward and impacting. A.B. Simpson wrote these words about solitude and silence, about hearing the voice of God. Listen close. Years ago, a friend placed in my hand a little book which became one of the turning points in my life. It was entitled True Peace. It was an old medieval message, and it had but one thought, that God was waiting in the depths of my being to talk with me if I would only get still enough to hear him. I thought this would be a very easy matter, so I began to get still. Well, this will be easy. But I had no sooner commenced than a perfect pandemonium of voices reached my ears, 1,000 clamoring notes from without and within, until I could hear nothing but their noise and their din. This is what you will experience if you want to start practicing solitude and silence. Some of them were my own voices. Some of them were my own questions. Some of them were my own cares. Some of them were even my own prayers. Others were suggestions of the tempter and the voices of the world's turmoil. Never before did there seem to be so many things to be done, to be said, to be thought, and in every direction I was pulled and pushed and greeted with noisy acclamations and unspeakable unrest. So, should you decide to practice this, be prepared for that. But know you're not alone. It seemed necessary for me to listen to some of them, but God said, be still and know that I am God. Then came the conflict of thoughts for the morrow and its duties and its cares, but God said, be still. And then there came the very prayers which my restless heart wanted to press upon him. God, I've got so many good prayers to pray. And he said to me, be still. As I listened and slowly learned to obey and shut my ears to every sound, I found that after a while, when the other voices ceased, or I ceased to hear them, there was a still small voice in the depth of my spirit. As I listened, it became to me the power of prayer, the voice of wisdom, and the call of duty. And I did not need to think so hard or pray so hard or trust so hard, but the still small voice of the Holy Spirit in my heart was God's prayer in my secret soul and God's answer to all my questions. Be still. Friends, I can only imagine your world is not a whole lot different than my world. And I can imagine your desire is not a whole lot different than my desire, which is to hear the voice of God, to be in relationship with the creator of this universe, to walk with him, to talk with him, to interact with him, to interact with the Son, Jesus, and the Spirit, to interact with the Godhead, the Trinity. And he gives us full opportunity to do so. And he invites us to come and to listen, to hear his voice. He wants to guide and direct, and he wants to speak into our soul. But the question is, are we prepared to get quiet enough to hear his whisper? Do we truly desire it enough to get ourselves into a practice that would help us to hear his still quiet voice? Listening prayer. I want to give you some really practical guidelines. This is a guideline here. To have listening prayer, find a place in your home or out in your garden or on a walk somewhere. Find a place and for 30 minutes, quiet yourself and ask Jesus to take captive your stray thoughts. I picture it this way when I sit down and ask God to take my noise that's in my head, as Simpson talked about. I picture the hand of God reaching down and capturing those thoughts, taking them. Someone once wrote, I have 1,000 thoughts that run through my mind and I find, oh, it's such a huge distraction to God. And then I realize, you know what? It's 1,000 times I get to ask God to help me. Lord, could you capture that thought? Could you take that thought away? Could you just put that one on the shelf over here? Because I got to get back to that one later. But Lord, could you just take these thoughts away so that I can hear you, so I can hear you? And so we begin to practice silence, and we do it in 3 minutes, or maybe 5 minutes, or maybe 7 minutes, or maybe it's only 1 minute. And we seek to find that place of silence and quietness. Sometimes it helps to focus on a thought. Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, my Savior. And it begins to focus our thoughts and bring our thoughts into a one quiet place. And as we ask God to take away those other things and we begin to train ourselves to block some of the noise, that thought that helps us to focus begins us to actually focus on the person we want to talk to, which is Jesus. 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 We may then take some time and read some scripture. And we ask God to speak through his scripture, or maybe we just want him to speak through his Holy Spirit to our soul. But we take time and we reflect on the words that he's speaking to us. If you can get to 30 minutes a day or every other day or whatever works into your rhythm, and you can get to those 30 minutes of silence, you will begin to hear the still, sweet voice of the Spirit of God speaking to you. I would even encourage you to maybe take a half or one day retreat. Go away. Go find a park somewhere. Bring your lawn chair and your Bible and a notebook and just go away. Leave your cell phone at home. Please. If you have your Bible on your cell phone, leave your cell phone at home and actually bring the book. But go find a quiet place and spend half a day with the Lord. I promise you, your soul will be refreshed. You will walk out of there if you're sincerely trying and seeking the will of God and seeking to speak and hear and listen. You will walk out refreshed. And you will be more effective and have more impact because you have encountered the living God in a fresh way. I want to practice this for just a few moments. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads, and simply pray this simple prayer. Lord, I would like to hear your voice this morning. Will you please remove those thoughts that are clogging my brain? And every time something pops in, say, Lord Jesus, please remove. Lord Jesus, please take away. And begin to focus. And then just in a moment or so, I'm going to read a scripture. And as I read this scripture, ask the Spirit of God to speak to you. He may give you one of those words, may all of a sudden be like highlighted. You know when you take a highlight pen and you highlight a word? The Spirit of God may illuminate, bring to life a word or a thought or a concept. Just wait for it. Listen to it. Let's be quiet. Hear the word of the Lord. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Now ask the Spirit of God to whisper his word to you again. Be still.